we're going to be considering Jesus and life's most difficult problems. Jesus Christ and life's most difficult problems. I want to read a few verses of Scripture in this chapter, because we do not have the time to read all of these verses. But in verse 23, we read this plaintive statement, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." Verse 25 and 26 tell us, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Then in verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" There are many serious problems in life, and they're not the same for all people. Some problems that seem serious to one may seem trivial to others. And these problems that I say are different and sometimes serious, sometimes trivial, depending upon the way you look at them, are problems that are generally solvable by mankind. You can put some money into it, you can put some time and energy into it, and you probably can solve these problems. But these problems that I'm talking about are far more difficult and far more serious than the ones we can solve with money or the ones we can solve with simply changing the places where we live. Life's most difficult problems are beyond the help of man, and they require the help of God. There are three of them involved here: serious illness, incurable illnesses, dying people who are near death, and then death itself, man's greatest problem and man's greatest enemy. So we will look this morning, first of all, at a dying child. Jesus had again crossed the Sea of Galilee. Many people crowded around him. And the Bible tells us in verse 21 of the same chapter we have read from that Jesus remained near the sea. Jairus, an anxious father, came to Jesus. The Bible tells us he was a ruler of the synagogue, a very important position, something like pastoring a church. And the Bible tells us that he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he begged Jesus to heal his daughter. He begged Jesus to come with him that she may be healed. "Lay your hands on her and she shall live." In verse 24, the Bible tells us that Jesus, along with a great crowd, followed Jairus as they were going their way to his home where his child lay dying. But then the Bible tells us that Jesus was interrupted in his journey and interrupted on his important mission by an unnamed woman. The Bible tells us that she had an issue of blood, a flowing of blood that could not be stopped. It was chronic in the sense that for 12 years, she had continued to have this bleeding, and no doubt it had brought her near death, ruining her health. Her experience for these 12 years was certainly disheartening. The Bible tells us that she suffered much. That is, she suffered tremendously as the physicians attempted to heal her disease. It was very painful to submit herself to the different things that the many physicians suggested to her. And the Bible tells us that She had spent all that she had. She had impoverished herself. She had suffered tremendous pain, and nothing was bettered, not even in any instance at all, but the Bible tells us, but rather, things got worse. Nothing worked. Nothing helped. She simply grew worse and worse as each painful day progressed, and as she progressed from day to day. She heard that Jesus was coming. I don't know how she heard, but we do know that there were many people who had been healed by Jesus, and many people who had been helped by Jesus, and he was fast gaining a tremendous reputation as being a man of the people, unlike their religious leaders who seemed to care more for themselves than they did for the people. And above everything else, Jesus could do more than sympathize. He could literally address the problem and solve it, no matter how difficult it may have been. This lady believed in what she was doing. The Bible tells us that she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." This was no curiosity-driven journey that this lady had involved herself in. This was no, "I'll go and see, and after a while make up my mind, perhaps things might change." This woman believed that what she was doing was right, and it would bring her into contact with a man who could help her. She touched his garment, and the Bible says she was instantly made whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus did something he rarely ever does. And that is, he forced this woman to reveal herself, no doubt against her wishes, maybe because the illness had made her feel so badly about herself. Maybe her illness had caused her body to be something that she herself did not look upon. Maybe she did not want the crowd involved in pitying her. I do not know her feelings. Maybe she was simply afraid. But the Bible tells us that she touched the hem of his garment, his clothes. And the Bible tells us that immediately her body was made whole. She was healed of that plague. It's a far cry from saying, "We'll pray for you." It's a far cry from the modern day fakes who say that they heal people, like Benny Hinn and all these other people on television who want you to send them money and they'll send you a prayer cloth. I didn't see any of this in the ministry of Jesus. He didn't require an offering before he gave his help. But Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the Bible tells us that he said this in such a manner that the disciples hearing him were incredulous. And it seems they were a little touchy about this, for Jesus asked them, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" You can see all these people around you, and you ask us, "Who touched you?" How in the world could we possibly know? And he looked round about. He actually stopped. And remember where he's going? He's going to the house of Jairus, because the daughter of Jairus is near death. And Jesus is on the way there, but he has stopped now, and he's looking around and he's saying, "Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing that is had healed her. And the Bible tells us that she was filled with fear, and the fear was so great that she trembled, knowing the fantastic and unbelievable thing that had been done in her. And she came and fell down before him and told him, notice, all the truth. You know, sometimes that'll solve some serious problems. The Bible doesn't tell us what all the truth was, but it does tell us that this woman came and fell down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and she told him all the truth. I'm sure it involved quite a few things. But if you've got really serious problems, I can tell you that it will help to come to Jesus Christ in prayer and tell him all the truth. Now, you may not be healed of some plague, of some disease like this woman was, but I tell you what, you can get your heart right with God, and that's a big step. Tell the truth. You know, our generation doesn't encourage that much, do we? Hide the truth, lie about it, cover it up, put another spin on it, blame somebody else. This woman didn't blame the physicians. You know, I think that in there somewhere, there had to be some resentment against those people. They'd taken every penny she'd had. And now she's worse than she was 12 years ago when she started dealing with them, or the many years ago that she was dealing with them. But she just simply told the truth. And you know that's all God ever wants. The truth from you and me and everybody else. Can you imagine what our world would be like if people just all of a sudden said, let's tell the truth? From pulpits, from judges' benches, in schools, in homes, everywhere people said, well, here's the truth. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith, that is, your trust in me, hath made you whole. He used the expression daughter because it's friendly. It means you're accepted. It means that I love you, that I care for you. Go in peace. Don't be upset and worried anymore. And continue to be whole of thy plague. You know, the man that we studied about that was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that had many devils, his name was Legion. You remember, he wanted to go with Jesus, and I really think the reason he wanted to go with Jesus, at least one of them, was that he was afraid these demons might come back, and he wanted to be in the presence of Jesus so they could be cast out of him again. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith, your trust in me hath made you whole. Go in peace. That is, don't be fretting and upset and worried because you're not going to have these problems any longer. Because you can be assured that you will continually be whole of this plague. Isn't it amazing about life? Bad news, my daughter lieth at the point of death. But here, this journey that Jesus is making to take care of this problem is interrupted by a woman who's had a serious problem in her life for a long period of time. And Jesus takes care of it in an instant by his virtue. And the word virtue there is the word that means power. Jesus said, I lost some power. There was power that went out of me. What happened? Where did it go? Who touched my clothing? Who touched my garments? But all of this was brought to a wonderful and joyous conclusion, was it not? instantaneously and miraculously by the power of Jesus Christ, she's made whole, and she didn't get better. She was made whole, complete, totally. And right on the heels of this good news, a messenger comes. While Jesus is yet speaking, there's a messenger standing by his side, tugging at his clothing again to get his attention. And this messenger who comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house, and he says, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And I can tell you, this is the worst news. This is the worst problem. This is the most serious thing of this entire chapter. It's got to be the worst thing that ever happened to any mother, any daddy. Got to be the worst thing. Do you think you got problems? You think you got heartache. You think you've been hurt. You think things are going bad for you. Just run this through your mind. If somebody brings you that information, it's bound to be the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And there seems to have been a tragic mistake made here, not by Jairus or the disciples. There seemed to be a tragic mistake that's made by Jesus Christ. But he was on his way to heal the child. He delayed his journey to heal a woman of age, no doubt. And in this time frame that he was healing this woman, the Bible tells us that the child or the younger woman died. Now the problem is infinitely worse. Now it has gone beyond illness. Now it is death. Notice the desperation. "Why trouble thou the master any further?" It's over with. It's done. It's settled. Why are you? I mean, you might as well go back home. Just forget it. It's over with. Because worse has gone to the ultimate. Illness has gone to death. You delayed. You took care of someone else. You got out of focus. There's one truth we can learn from this, and it's a good one. Sometimes God lets things get their very worst before he intervenes. Sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. There are encouraging words that come from Jesus. He says, "Be not afraid." How often have we heard these words from Jesus Christ? "Be not afraid." And how many more times will we hear him say, "Be not afraid. Only believe. Be single-minded and keep on trusting me." Stay focused. Don't give up just because someone has come and said, "She is dead." Because the very extremity of man is often the great opportunity of God. Jesus came to the house of Jairus. Only 3 people accompanied him to the house where this young lady lie dead. But in verse 38, the Bible tells us that when Jesus got there, there was literally emotional chaos. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Here was a house, a rather large household, because being a rich man and ruler of the synagogue, he evidently had servants and extended family, and friends and neighbors have come, and acquaintances have come, and now there is weeping and wailing and the making of much ado, just which simply means there's a tremendous chaos going on. Has to do with their crying, their beating themselves, and it's all signaling this is the end. The Lord isn't teaching us that we shouldn't cry or that we shouldn't care. What He is teaching us is this, that nothing is beyond His care. Nothing is beyond His redemption. Nothing is beyond His grace. Nothing is beyond His power. And Jesus rebuked them. How unpastor-like. How un-Christian-like. Why are y'all doing this? Why make you this terrible upheaval, and why are you weeping so desperately? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now let me explain this. Jesus stated a great truth. Those who are under His blood may look upon death as a sleep from which they will be awakened. This applies to the body and not the spirit. It was not the spirit that was sleeping, but it was the body that Jesus said euphemistically, look, it's asleep. One of these days she will wake up. Maybe a while. The days may come, the nights may come, the years may go, and the months may roll, and time make its progress, but it will make its progress, for every minute is 60 seconds long, no matter how harsh the grief, and every hour is 60 minutes long, and time will pass, and events will occur, and God's will for all mankind will be accomplished in one day, every dead child. And one day every born-again child of God, every mother, every father will awake from their sleep in a body not subject to death anymore, and they'll look like themselves, just like this child looked like herself when she was brought back to life. Now in verse 40, the Bible tells us they laughed him to scorn. They laughed in his face. When Jesus said this, they laughed in his face. Remember, he hasn't in this area raised any from the dead, at least that the Bible reveals to us. And so they laugh him to scorn. Have you ever noticed how they always react to the truth of God? There are millions of they out there, and they're laughing themselves silly as we preach the Word of God and try to live right and do right and tell the truth and bear our burdens and help one another and live like Christian people. The world laughs in our face. And Jesus sent them all away, except for the father and the mother. And he invited Peter, James, and John to come into the room where the daughter lay. I would tell you that those who do God's work never stand in need of the unbelieving world. The world laughs at our outdated stand. Let them stay on the outside. It will be in here that God does His work. God knows what He needs to do, and God knows who He needs to do His work. Believing and trusting people. Jesus didn't go to this woman and this 12-year-old girl and shake her, slap her on the forehead, agitate, make a lot of gestures. He said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And if you have the power of God, that's all you need to say. And she arose and walked, and she did it immediately. And the Bible tells us they were overcome with amazement. And the Bible tells us that Jesus commanded their silence. It's rather strange that He didn't command everyone within any distance who had seen or heard of this to go and tell everybody about it. But He can't command it that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus was practical. He knew children. He knew that the minute she woke up, she'd want a snack. They all do, don't they? Isn't that quite a touch? Give her something to eat. She's been asleep for a while. She's suffered tremendously. Let her eat. Sounds like a grandparent, doesn't it? You got any problems? Well, you can lie about it and say you don't, but I assume that you do. Boy, they're not anything like this, are they? Well, they could be, couldn't they? What about all the other things of life? Just the hurt and the misunderstanding and, as we say today, the loss of self-esteem and just the general feeling that things have turned out rotten. What do you do with that? I mean, you say, well, it's big. I've been to the Lord with some of these big things, but what about these other problems of life? Well, tell the truth and let God deal with them in His own way. Just tell the truth and let God deal with them in His own way.